In tears this afternoon, I went to be a blessing, and I was blessed. The kids blessed me. I noticed, we started this morning, statements made at Calvary. Notice the text verse, Luke 23:32. There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors on the right hand and the other on the left. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this precious truth about our wonderful Savior. Help me to be a blessing tonight. Thank you for everyone that came back. What a great crowd for a Sunday night. And Lord, I just pray that everyone here will be blessed. Holy Ghost, go up and down the aisles and minister to each heart. And thank you for the young man that was saved this morning. And Father, all the good things that you did. And Father, just bless us now. Help me to raise up and glorify your name. And Father, may you get the glory for all things. And help me to do well for you that I can be a blessing to the people. And bless our revival. And Lord, bless Grandma Lemley, Lord. Please give her health in her body, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We spoke to you about Jesus dying on the cross at Calvary. And as he died, he made seven statements. He spoke some words that we felt that were pretty important. We gave you the first two of them. The first, in Luke 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the second one, in Luke 23:43, he said, today thou shalt be in paradise with me. Those were words of comfort. And the first word, number one, he had words of compassion. Number two, he had words of comfort. Amen? He had compassion that he cared about lost souls going to hell. Father, forgive them. Comfort, assuring us that we can look forward to going to heaven when we die. Today thou shalt be in paradise with me. I showed you about the rulers in verse 35 through 42. The rulers, they had words of cruelty. The soldiers had words of craftiness and cunning. The first thief, he had conspiring words of self-motivated. But that last thief that got saved, he had two statements. He had conviction of sin. We indeed justly. He had conviction of sin. And he said, remember me. He had confession unto salvation. Amen? And so now we get to the third thing now tonight. Let's please turn with your Bibles to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, the third statement that Jesus makes from the cross. John 19:27. By the way, I think Brother Eddie Wilson led a lady to Christ in the morning service. If I got there right, so she came and visited and she got saved. I don't think, did she even come forward, Eddie? You just led her to Christ right there where you were, weren't you? Oh, well, it was exciting because she. See, they talked to me. She said, I got saved, and I prayed with her, and we were excited. We gave her seven steps of joy, and hopefully one day we can get her, disciple her, and get her baptized. And I like people being saved. Amen. It's a saving place, amen? Yeah. And, well, anyways, it's exciting. Keep up the good work. Keep on telling people about Jesus. All right, number three, that we're talking about the statements made at Calvary, and we're focusing on the words that Jesus said. And look at the... In 19:27, and verse, the Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 27, then said he to his disciples, this is Jesus speaking from the cross of Calvary. He makes seven statements. I'm putting the statements right in order as he said them. At least we believe this is the order they came. Then he said unto the disciples, behold thy mother. Behold thy mother. Young people, get a hold of this. Behold thy mother. And from that hour, the disciples took her unto his own home. And of course, it was John that took her. Think about what this. So, can you imagine these words? Behold thy mother. Here, by the way, these are caring words. These are words of concern. Think about me. Jesus, under the most extreme circumstances, I think being crucified is extreme. Bearing all the weight of all the sin of the world is extreme. And under all those circumstances, you wouldn't think he'd have his mind on anyone. But he saw his mother, and he had caring and thoughts, take care of my mother. He stepped out of being the suffering Savior and said, here, I've got concern for my mother. But that tells me something. No matter what extremities we go through in life, we ought to always have concern in our heart for others. We ought to always have concern and love. The Bible says we're to honor and love our parents. Jesus did that to the very end. Amen? And I'd like to honor my mom and dad, but if you knew the circumstances, I can't imagine anything more have a bigger circumstance than being on the cross, and yet he still honored his mother. Amen? And so we see Jesus honoring his mother. Words of concern and caring. Then number four, the fourth statement, Matthew chapter 27, verse 40. I've got to go. We'll never get this done. I know I took a long time this morning on the first two. Get the morning, if you didn't get to hear the morning message, try to get that. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45 and 46. 46 is the verse you want, but Matthew 27. Something's not right here. Where am I at? There. No, I'm not in the right place. There. Okay. Why am I having? I want my God, why has thou forsaken me? Okay. Look at this. Look at Matthew 27, 45 and 46. Now from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Remember I told you, so great was the sin that the whole world was encompassed in complete darkness. Remember I preached that this morning? From 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock, total darkness. It's more than just Jerusalem. I'm going to tell you, it was darkness around the whole world. Because all the sins of the world were being judged and meted out right then. And about the ninth hour, and here's the fourth statement, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, lama, sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the emphasis is on me. He never forsook Noah in the ark. He never forsook Daniel in the lion's den. Father, you never forsook the three Hebrews in the furnace fire. I'm your only begotten son. Why have you forsaken me? Hello? I'll tell you why. God had to forsake him. Because remember when Jesus said, if it could be possible, take this cup away, but nevertheless thine will? I remember that over in Luke 22. He was drinking all the cup of the sins of the world, and God was pouring out his wrath on all the condemnation. See, stay with me. Jesus, these are words of condemnation. Because Jesus was being condemned for all people. Tommy and I like this verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For God had made him to be, talking about Jesus, for God had made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was made sin. He was made sin on the cross. He drank all the sins of all the world when God came down with that cup. He poured all the sins of mankind into Jesus' body. He became a serpent. He became sin. And it's no wonder he had sweat blood. His holiness was so rebellious to think that he had to become sin. Repulsed over it. Here we have the precious Son of God, perfect Son of God, taking all God's wrath. That's a statement of condemnation. Are you with me? Remember Isaiah, don't turn to it. Remember Isaiah 53? He had put him to grief. Verse 10, thou shalt make him an offering for sin. Jesus was taking all the common condemnation. See, we're all condemned. There is no condemnation, therefore, of those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? You know why? Because Christ took all the condemnation for us. He took all the judgment. He took all our sins. Listen, the whole world's condemned to death. Jesus took your condemnation. He took my condemnation. When I see, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? I hear words of condemnation. Oh God, I'm being condemned for sin. Can anyone say amen? And then, so I said in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, Father, forgive them. These are words of compassion. I said, Luke 23, 43, thou shalt be with me in paradise. That these are words of comfort. I said in John 3, the third one, in John 19, 27, behold thy mother. These are words of concern and care for his mother. And I said in Matthew 27, 46, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are words of condemnation. Jesus felt all the guilt of all the world on him. Can you imagine? He was holding up all the guilt of the whole world at Calvary. Can anyone say amen or me? He drank all the cup of our condemnation. Can anyone say amen? And then number five, John 19, 28, I thirst. Jesus said in John 19, 28, I thirst. Words of commitment. Do you see that? How many see that? And Jesus, cries out, I thirst. Let me turn to that. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus Christ for trying to make me not to see what I'm supposed to see. Holy Spirit, fill me and don't give him victory, Father. Lord, this has been precious to my heart. And now I'm having darkness and things blocking me. Lord, I pray that you intervene now in Christ's name. Amen. Notice the fourth statement. Jesus says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then the fifth statement from Calvary, from our Savior, is John 19, 28. Turn to that, John 19, 28. John 19, verse 28. Boy, Satan will try to, if he can, he'll try to block your mind. Amen? Just claim the blood. The Satan always runs when you claim the blood. And get in the book. Sometimes you have nightmares at times. Sometimes I have a hard time sleeping at night and all kinds of wild mind. Boy, my mind won't rest and all kinds of crazy things. Seeing, you know, just how many of you ever had a night where you couldn't sleep, and all kinds of stuff, crazy dreams? Get your Bible and put it right underneath your pillow. I guarantee it goes away. Trust me on this. I've done it hundreds of times. Satan will attack our mind. Are you with me? And strong meat belongs to them who full age of exercise their senses, Hebrews 5:14. And we need to realize when we're being attacked to use our exercise our senses for Christ. Amen? Hebrews 5:14. The Bible says in 3:1 of Peter, stir up your pure mind. And so, fifth statement. John 19:28, I thirst. Oh, my. You know why Jesus said that, Brother Eddie? He thirsted so that no man, other man would ever have to thirst again. Jesus thirsted for all mankind so all men could drink of the living water. Can anyone say amen? In John 14, 4, John 4, 14, he said to a lady at the well, whoso drinketh of the water I shall give shall never thirst. In 4:15 of John, the woman said, sir, give me this water. Boy, I like it when people say, Jesus, come in my heart and be my Savior. They drink of that living water. Amen? Can anyone say amen? You know what these are words of, Brother Mark? Here's what the Lord gave me. They're words of commitment. Because Jesus is committed that he drank for every man. He thirsted for every man. So every person has an opportunity to have living water. See, he thirsted for you and I, so you and I would never have to thirst. How many are still with me? He wants everyone to have an opportunity to drink of the living water. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's athirst, come. If you're here and you never take of Christ, you ought to come and be saved. Say, Christ, come in my heart. Say, he'll refresh you and save your soul. And he'll take care of you for the rest of your eternity. Hallelujah. Amen. Let him that here come, and let him that thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Aren't you glad that Jesus thirsted for us so he could give us the living water? Amen? So the fifth statement was, I thirst. By the way, don't raise your hand, but if I was to ask each one of you, have you all drank of the living water? Have you come to the living well? Like that lady in John chapter 4, that Jesus met at the well, and he gave her the living water that she would thirst no more? How many would say amen to that? Amen. If you've never asked Christ to save you, if you've never drank of the cup of God, you need to come and be saved. Don't leave this church tonight. You're listening by way of the internet. And a lot of people have been listening to our sermons. I hope that if you were listening to this sermon, that you would stop what you're even doing right now and just bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my soul. I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty, Lord. Here's my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. Amen? And then the Bible says in Revelation, I quoted it. I love this verse. I quoted it earlier. Revelation 22:17. It's for all people, Brother Coolidge. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, that means anyone, whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Why is it free? Because Jesus paid for it. So we could have it for free. Amen? I said, number one, in Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. These are words of compassion. I said in Luke chapter number two, Luke 23:43, thou shalt be in paradise to me. These are words of comfort. I said, number three, John 19:27, behold thy mother. These are words of comfort. These are words of concern and care. In Matthew 27:46, number four, my God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? These are words of condemnation because Jesus was being condemned for all of us. My God, my God, what, I'm being condemned here. Are you with me? Aren't you glad he took our condemnation? Jesus, and then John 19:28, number five, I thirst. These are words of commitment. He was committed to be to go through thirsting so every one of us could drink of the water of life freely. No one ever has to thirst. Christ said, because I thirsted for you, everyone has an opportunity now to drink of the living water. Can anyone say amen? And then number six, John 19:30. He said, it's finished. In John 19:30, are we in John? Let's look at verse 30. And when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. How many see that? It is finished. I love that. These are words of completion. Words of completion because he completed the task of being God's slain lamb for mankind. Amen? Think with me. Jesus, praise God. Jesus paid the price for what God justice demanded. It demanded sin be punished, and only he could pay the price. Amen? Hebrews 9:26 says, but now once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:28, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Can anyone say amen? Woo! The job's done. It's complete. Amen? Listen, praise God for our sin debt. It's paid in full. Are you with me? Praise God for the completion of Jesus, the sacrificial lamb. He completed everything. It's finished. I paid the price. The debt's been paid. I went to Mark's the other day and I bought some water for Dr. Gray, but I gave it away to the girls on Friday. I got to go buy another one. But he likes that water with the blue label on it. What is it called? Yeah, that's it, Aquafina. And so, but the girl put a little orange thing on there and said, paid in full, I think. Paid in full, I think. And I thought, yeah, that's a good stamp. I like that. Paid in full. Well, Jesus, when he cried out, it is finished. He was saying, it's paid in full. Complete. It's completed. Hallelujah. I purchased salvation for all mankind. Amen. It's completed. Amen. Isn't this good stuff? By the way, when God saw it, he said, "It's well." He was well done. He said, "Yes, you have completed." The Father said, "No doubt." You know, the Bible doesn't say, but I mean, sorry, you've completed. You're well done. You completed the task. He said, "Father, I've completed the task that you sent me for. It's finished. I've completed the task." Are you with me? You know what? I wonder how many of us, when we get to the end, we can say it's finished. Or maybe like you said over in Timothy by the Apostle Paul, chapter 4, for I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. Boy, didn't Jesus fight a good fight? I finished my course. I've completed it. He's finished. Are you with me? And I've kept the faith. Boy, that's what I want to be able to say. When I get to the end of my life, I hope God say, hey, you stayed. You weren't perfect. You were far from being perfect, but you stayed in the race, and you finished the course. That ought to be in every one of our Christians' hearts. You young people, I don't know when the Lord's going to come back. I actually thought years ago when I was young he was going to come back. I really believe now he's coming back that I'm old. But maybe I'll be wrong and he'll still, maybe you'll turn silver hair and he still won't be coming. No one knows the time, but don't bank on getting gray hairs because Jesus is coming soon. But you ought to purpose in your heart, I'm going to serve him every day of my life to the end. Because when I see my Savior, I want to say, I completed the job. Amen? And then let me give you number 7. Are you still with me? Number 7, the last statement. It's found in Luke chapter 23, verse 46. Luke 23, 46. Now you could have picked up some of that in that last verse I just read, but I wanted you to see this. In Luke chapter 23, verse 46, notice what it said there in verse 46. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, what did he cry? It is finished. Look up here, church. How many got that verse? When he cried out, what he was crying out is what he said in John 19:30. It's finished. Are you with me? When Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, it is finished, he said, then he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having thus, he gave up the ghost. He gave it up. No one killed him. He just said, okay, my job's completed. I'm checking out. Like, we don't pick the time when we die. Jesus said, see, no one can dictate to our Savior. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's God. He's the Creator. I picked the time I was going to be born. I picked the place I was going to be born. I picked the people I was going to be with. I picked how I was going to die. And now I've died and I've completed my task. So now, Lord, I'm coming back. Are you with me? How many still with me? Father, in thy hands, I commit my spirit. Oh, I like this, Mark. These are words of compliance. These are words of compliance to God's will. Father, I've completed it. And Lord, everything you've asked me to do, I've complied to your will. You get it, Betty? Everything you've asked me, I've done it. I'm in compliance. Of everything you've asked, I'm in compliance. Now I commend my spirit to you. How many are still with me? These are the words of Jesus. I believe it's referring to compliance to God's perfect will in his life. Remember he submitted in Luke 22:42, not my will, but thine will. How many remember that in the garden? Lord, I've been obedient unto death. I have been in complete compliance to you, to your perfect will. So now, Lord, because I've been in complete compliance to your perfect will, now I commit my spirit to you, Father. And hallelujah. I know the angels were singing. How many are still with me? Listen. He was compliant, in compliance to God's perfect will. I'm all done. Hold on. I'm not done yet. I'm not done with everything. You know the preacher, he's always got one more. You know, I wonder how much have we done in God's will. I noted the question, I wonder, have we done all that the Father's asked us? Have you done all that the Father's asked you? Think about it. Are you in complete in compliance with the will and wishes of the Father? Can anyone say amen? It's quiet here. That's good. I think we're thinking. That's a holy hush and holy silence there. That's good. We ought to be like our Savior. Lord, I want to be in compliance to everything you want. Not my will, Father, but thine. Seven statements from the cross. Special, aren't they? Words of compassion. Words of comfort. Words of care. Words of condemnation, words of commitment, words of completion, and now the seventh word, words of compliance. I got one more thing to show you. There was one other person that said something. Jesus made those seven statements. But I want you all to turn to this last one. You're going to shout, Rod. Look at Matthew chapter 27. The verse I want is 54, but let's look at 50 through 54, and I am closing out. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27, verse 50. How many have got it? Jesus, when he cried with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. We just talked about that. Are you in compliance? Because he completed the Father's will? Are you still with me? And after he did that, Annie, of course, to behold the veil of the temple, it was rent in twain, because now God's made a new way. He don't go in the Holy Spirit. We go to Christ directly now. We go up to heaven. Hebrews 4 says we come boldly to the throne of God now. Before you had to have a great high priest, and yet only he could go in the Holies of Holies. But now everyone can approach it through Christ. He's a great high priest that liveth forever. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent. By the way, and I was talking to Brother David, our Jewish convert, I really believe you'll see very soon the Jewish people will have to build that third temple. They have to build it because the Antichrist is going to come in and proclaim himself as God during the middle of the trib. And because I think the rapture is ready to happen, as soon as the rapture happens, the seven-year tribulation starts. By the way, we'll be gone. We're going up here. We're not going to be left behind. Revelation 4:1 says, I'll keep you from that hour. Are you with me? But they've got to have that third temple built before the Antichrist can go in there and proclaim himself as God. So don't be surprised. You see, by the way, when they start making that temple, get ready. By the way, the way they can build things nowadays, actually the rapture could actually happen, I believe, and they can still have the temple built in that 3.5 years. So it doesn't really have to be built, Brother Rod, before the rapture, because the way modern technology is, they can put things up so fast. And then again, they might not even build. They might just take something that's already there. Who knows? And behold, the veil of the... Everyone wants the Dome of the Rock, okay? Are you with me? How many are still with me? And I don't know. By the way, I do not know. I do not know, so don't... I don't know anything more than you do. I just know they got to have a third temple. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent. Man, whole lot of shaking going on, more than Jerry Lewis sung about years ago in the 50s. Jerry Lee Lewis, a whole lot of shaking going on. I'm going to tell you, Jerry would be shaking if he'd have been there. And look what happened, saints of God. This is after Jesus died and paid the price. They were in a holding tank called Abraham's bosom. Nobody could go to the heavenlies because the price hadn't been paid. There was in the heart of the earth, there was two compartments, a torment in Abraham's bosom, which was a type of heaven. As soon as Christ paid the price, all the Old Testament saints went up. And now we Christians, we go straight up. That's where the people get a false teaching about purgatory. There's no purgatory. There's either heaven or hell. Either way, it's torment or Abraham's bosom. There's a great gulf between us, and you can't come to him, he can't come to you. There's no such thing as purgatory. You either go to heaven or you go to hell. Now you go straight to heaven, or now you go straight to torment. Amen? Which one day you'll be cast out there and thrown in the lake of fire at the end. I ain't got time to preach on it tonight. And the graves were open. I know you say, preacher, how do you say that? But you preach on it. Then you say you can't preach on it. You've already told us because there's more to it. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints. They weren't the ain'ts. Not the ain'ts. The ain'ts were still in there, but the saints. If you're not saved, you're an ain't. You take Christ as your Savior, you're a saint. You give me the orneriest guy in this church. If he's saved, he's a saint. Are you with me? David, you're still a saint. Now, David's a sweet guy. He really is. And the saints which slept, their bodies were in the grave. But their souls were alive and down in Abraham's bosom. There's no such thing as soul sleeping. They were, trust me, he could see Lazarus. He said, bring some food and water, and he could see all that. Trust me, they weren't just sleeping. They knew what was going on. You have all the senses. Feel, touch, hearing, are you with me? And they came out of the graves after his resurrection. They didn't come out before. Jesus had to die and raise the grave. Are you with me? And went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now watch 54. I'm finally getting to it. We're talking about words that were said. Now when the centurion, word centurion, that means a soldier had 100 under him. Sentry, well, are you with me? When the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw their earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, and so would you and I. I'm going to tell you, if something like that, we would all be terrified. And look what they said. Truly, this was the Son of God. Woo! These are words of confirmation. He confirmed that Jesus truly was. of God. Can anyone say amen? Can anyone say amen? I mean, you hear all those words, all the words from Christ, all the words, but at the very end, when all the things shook and Jesus came up, the centurion said, truly, 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 this really was the Son of God, just like he said. And he confirmed, those were confirming words, confirmation that truly he was who he said he was. Yes. Let's bow our heads in prayer. This is good stuff. Heavenly Father, it's just great to be excited about you. All this crazy stuff in the world, but we've got you. And Lord, I'm glad. I'm glad even the centurion, he saw that you truly was the Son of God. You were right, exactly who you said you were. You did exactly what you said you'd do. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, how many could say tonight, first of all, Pastor, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. Could you raise that hand? I know for sure. Thank you. May put him down. Is there anyone here tonight that doesn't know if they would die, they'd go to heaven? But you'd sure like to know, and you'd like to hear those comforting words of Christ that he gave to the thief on the cross. Today thou shalt be in paradise with me. And you'd like to take Christ as your Savior tonight. Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Who'd say that? Pastor, I want to be saved tonight. Preacher, I want to make Christ my Savior. I want to have the comfort knowing that when I die, I go straight to heaven. Who could? Anyone like that tonight? Pray for me. Pray for me. I wonder how many Christians tonight say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you, I need to get more of God's will in my life. I've not been in compliance. I've not been in compliance to his will. I've not completed the task that God's put before me. And I don't want to fail. I want to get back and do what God wants me to do. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. I see that. God bless you. Wait, I see the hand way back there. God bless you. Maybe tonight, you young people, maybe God's speaking about being a preacher or a missionary or full-time worker. I don't know what God wants for your life. But maybe tonight you'd say, I don't care. I don't know what it is, but I'm gonna dedicate my life for the full-time service of Christ. Jesus, you got my life. I'll dedicate my life to you. Is there anyone saying, Preacher, God spoke to me tonight. I need to dedicate my life for the service of Christ. Anyone like that at all? Just raise your hand. Let me pray for you. Anyone like that at all? Pray for me. Maybe a lot of you have already done it, but maybe some have not. Maybe there's an adult here that say, I've not really dedicated my life like I need to. Pray for me. Yes. Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. Thank you for those 7 statements from Calvary's cross. I pray we'll keep Calvary close to our heart. And Lord, I pray if there's anyone here that doesn't know you in the free pardon of sin, I pray tonight they'll ask you to save their soul. You'll give them the water freely. You thirsted so they could have the living water. You thirsted so they could have the living water. You're committed. You have words of commitment, so everyone, whosoever will, can drink of the water of life freely. Again, if there's someone on the tape, the internet listening, bow your head right now, right where you're at. Or maybe you're in this building. Maybe you're in this building, you're not sure. Just bow your head right now and say, Dear Jesus, I'm not sure if I'm going to go to heaven. I don't want to die and go to hell. Jesus, save my soul from hell and take me to heaven when I go, when I die. Jesus, I'm asking you to come to my heart and be my Savior. I'm trusting you right now. You're on the internet. You do this right now. And then I want you to write us an email or send us a letter, call us. Let us know that you made that decision. I wonder why we're talking to all those in the auditorium tonight. Is there anyone tonight that while I said that prayer, you asked Christ to save you? Just raise your hand. I won't go to you. But is there anyone that did it tonight? Preacher, I asked Christ to save me just when you led in that prayer. Just raise your hand, put it back down. Anyone at all? Yes. Yes, I see that. Yes, God bless you. God bless you, I see that. Heavenly Father, have your will and way in our lives, we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand and sing. Page 7.